New York City.
What's good? This is the Leaders Create Leaders podcast, your blueprint on how to build a brand, lead a movement, and create a profitable, impact-driven business. On this podcast, we'll dive into my personal stories building 2 8-figure businesses and my evolution turning heart-led leaders into conscious millionaires. I'm your host, Gerard Adams. Let's go.
With another episode of Leaders Create Leaders, I'm your host Gerard Jeezy Adams. What's good? And it is 2022, y'all. And we got a special guest. You may recognize her voice from the episode that we did not long ago on my man, my hero, one of the greatest leaders ever, Jesus Christ. We did an episode on Jesus Christ. Monica, we did an episode on Jesus Christ. How cool is that? You guys, make sure to go back and check out that episode. Please welcome back to the podcast my sister, co-founder of Heart-Led Leaders, unbelievable oracle, channel, priestess, healer, medicine woman, wild woman, entrepreneur, Monica Adams.
Wow. Thank you for that. It's so fun being back in this podcast. And hanging out with you is always a blessing. So I'm excited to jam today on something that's near and dear to my heart and serve the people that are listening and support y'all out there listening. Thank you for tuning in.
Dope. Episode 74 for the Jesus Christ episode, guys. Make sure to go check it out. Why Jesus was our greatest teacher. Monica straight up gave so many codes because you actually went beyond just Jesus. We talked about Mother Mary. We talked about Magdalene. We talked about the Sacred Heart, which I think is super dope because since that episode, I'm sitting across from you and you got yourself a Sacred Heart necklace. That's pretty dope.
I wear this every day. I love that. And 74, that's perfect. Your favorite number was always 7 and mine was always 4. 74. Can you believe that? So aligned. Blessed,
7
baby.
7 plus 4 is 11. You know what I'm saying? The alignment is real.
I love that. That's perfect.
Cool. So before we kick off on this awesome episode, we're going to be talking about energy at all costs, like how you protect it, how you elevate, how you're more intentional with your energy so that you can make your dreams, your visions, your goals come to fruition. I want you guys this year, this is the year of quantum. This is the year where you have a legendary year, y'all. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, just let's go. Like, we're about to have a legendary year. If you're with me, let me know. I gotta get a button that actually does
you
that.
You do need that. That's amazing.
I gotta get that button. For now, we going straight ghetto with it. But real quick, I just want to know that Sacred Heart necklace, what does it mean to you? What does the Sacred Heart mean to you?
Yeah, well, in that episode, I share how Jesus came to me and really told me, focus on the Sacred Heart. And so for me, that's making my thoughts, my actions, my behaviors, really attuning that to what my heart knows to be true and really being someone that is of faith and really trusting in the unseen and doing what I feel to be true to my own heart and following that through, even if it looks different to everyone else, just being true to my own heart and knowing that God's holding me in his heart and therefore I'm always safe and always blessed and I can trust whatever's coming through when it comes from that source, when it comes from that place.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm curious, really quickly, what are the words that you are calling in right now for this year? This is a quantum year, 2022. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the words when you want to describe this year for you? What are those words?
Mm. I have 3 words: serve and outpour, which go together for me. Serve and outpour. Second word is purpose, really serving, being on purpose. And the third is wealth. So those are my 3 words.
Let's go.
And that really encompasses where my focus, where my energy will be most this year.
Woo! You heard it. You heard it. I love it. I love all 3. Serve, purpose, and wealth. This is definitely a major, major year of wealth. Mm-hmm. I know all of my circle right now, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about it in the mastermind. I'm talking about it in my friendships. I'm talking about it in this home with my family. Like, we get to take our wealth game to a whole nother level, generational wealth, wealth in every sense of the word, financially, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Like, we get to be the ones that are carrying this torch of what wealth looks like in the new paradigm, in this new paradigm of leadership, in this new paradigm of business. And so I'm so excited, because it's hard enough when, you know, we as the individuals, we as the children are carrying that torch in the family. But I'm sitting with my sister who's saying wealth. Like, we got both of us going at this, as well as our older sister, Cynthia, who is just crushing it for her family. And just, you know, it's so dope to know that you are focusing on being on purpose, mm-hmm. focusing on serving from the heart, and focusing on creating wealth for you. And so I'm holding you to that. So let's talk about this episode, because you mentioned in that, right? You were like, you looped in the energy. And as we know, money is just infinite, right? Money is infinite, but our energy is something that, like, I feel take for granted as this resource that people don't necessarily value, you know, which is actually more infinite, more important than anything else, right? And in fact, money essentially is energy, right? Everything essentially is energy. And so when we talk about this idea of how we are going to be more intentional and protect our energy in 2022, I'm curious what has come through, what's most alive for you right now around this topic of, like, how you're protecting your energy, how you're being more intentional with where your energy goes, where your energy flows, to bring forth the highest version of you in 2022.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important. And what you touched on is this management aspect of managing your energy. The same way you manage your money is the same way we get to manage our energy, because we have so much energy. We have so much energy, but we have to do the due diligence of making sure that we're not getting super pulled or distracted, especially nowadays where it's so easy to get distracted. And I think it's so important to really harness our energy. And when we focus our energy, the power behind that is so incredible. And truly what I really stepped into is helping different clients and helping my audience, that I've noticed is this idea of absorbing energy and feeling like we need to protect our energy. And this feeling of, like, I'm getting pulled, or I'm feeling this energy from this person, this conversation, or these certain places. And for me, I really want to be able to give people more resources on how to manage your energy, because as though I hear a lot of these terms about protecting your energy, and I understand why it started, but I have a different viewpoint on it. And so I think it's where it stems from is makes sense, right? Let's protect our energy. Let's make sure that we're harnessing it and we're valuing it. You know, our energy is worth so much.
Yeah.
But my spin of it is making sure that if you're protecting your energy, you're doing it from a place of empowerment, not from a place of victimhood and thinking that whatever is outside of you, whether that is a person who's maybe gossiping and being negative, or a certain room or a certain space, like, knowing that because you can feel energy, using that as a superpower and as a gift to then have discernment, but not feeling like you have to shut yourself down or close off, because the fact that you can feel energy, in my opinion, is a superpower. And when we start seeing it that way and starting to recognize that if you can feel energy of a room, that is a genius. You walked into a room and you can feel, you can sense something that is big. And where else can you use that feeling body, that those subtleties in your own life, to focus your energy on the things that you do want, rather than protecting yourself from all the things that aren't in alignment with you? And having that discernment and knowing the distinction, are you protecting yourself from, like, that's like subtle victimhood, thinking that you need to disconnect yourself from other people, or are you doing it from an empowered place, which is like, wow, I do feel this. This does feel off. This isn't where I'm meant to be, and rising to a new level of leadership, and maybe even course correcting whatever's happening in that situation, so that you can be the leader to, you know, like we talk about, like, be a heart-led leader, be a conscious leader, and move the energy, direct the energy, because you're so focused, because you have this gift.
Wow. I love that take on it, because, yeah, like, it's a very, I just want to repeat what she's saying in the sense of like, it looks like it's like the lens, right? Like there's nothing wrong mm-hmm. with saying protecting your energy. She's just saying, if you kind of spin it, right? Because a lot of times I've been in that scenario. I know people that have been in that scenario where like you start to feel like you're in a room or you're coming into an event and you're like, oh man, like I could feel all of that energy. And then all of a sudden you start to kind of make yourself small, right? Mm-hmm. Like you kind of start to go, I got to protect my energy because I'm going to start taking on people's shit.
Right.
Maybe for instance. Yep. Right. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to take on people's shit, or people, you get into a conversation all of a sudden and you notice that someone's just not on your level of consciousness, right? They're like you're saying, gossiping, bringing the energy and the vibe down. But you can start to, if you're not careful, if you're coming from victimhood, you can start to think that you're absorbing that and then it's becoming you, dropping you to that vibration versus like, hey, you're bigger than this. And you can easily just like honor where that person is from. You can offer them support. You can still listen, or you can just honor the fact that like, this is just not your, where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Not for you, right? And that's mm-hmm. okay too. And walk away and not pick it up.
Yes.
Like, and I noticed this a lot with my plant medicine, because it would be like, there'd be opportunities with my plant medicine ceremonies where it's like, I would see someone going through something. And as men, mm-hmm. we tend to want to save a woman. And so we'll immediately go to like, want to fix a situation. Mm-hmm. And so it was part of me to learn, I would see someone going through something and I would feel that and I would want to go and I would want to fix that and help and all that. But then it was like, no, there's a sacredness to that.
Totally.
To their space, to where they're at. And so there was a practice for me to honor where that person was mm-hmm. and just simply come back to myself, not pick it up.
Oof.
But I've picked up a lot of shit.
I have too. That's why I've had to learn this. Right? I've had to learn this. And I loved what you said there, because if we look at the root of it, it comes, the intention behind why you've noticed in medicine spaces, like the desire to want to, you know, save, or that desire, which is pure and it's beautiful, right? And looking at it from this place of knowing that that person, that's their medicine. They have to do it, regardless if you picked it up or not. It's now, next week, tomorrow, they need to go through it, right? And so we're really not helping someone when we absorb it, because the truth is they have to go through it, right? And better now than later, like let them go through it. And I think what's most important is not so much protecting our energy, but making sure that we have our practices in place so that we're charged up and fueled. So we hold this higher timeline of people and know, like, I know right now it's painful. Mm. I know right now this sucks. And you can empathize, but not go into pitying a person.
Mm.
Because it's when that's not loving someone. Loving someone is being like, I know this is painful. I know that you're going through it. And I know this is a catalyst for your power. I know this is going to show you your strength. I know that you're going to get through this. This isn't the end of your story, man. This is just the beginning. And when we can hold that frequency for people, they feel it. And then we don't feel the need to have to absorb it, because we're holding them to this light of like, man, on the other side of this, I see you. This is just a tiny speck of who you are. And it's a catalyst of the greatness that you hold. Therefore, you know, God's putting you through, you know, this opportunity to rise and to claim that gift. And so I think that's the distinction, right?
Oh, that's so powerful. And yeah, I just invite you all to, next time you're in that kind of space or conversation, whether it's with a friend, whether it's with a stranger, being able to really look through that lens of empathy from an empowering standpoint and from the lens of love, right? Not from a disempowerment, a pity, a victim mentality, but a shifting to an empowerment, not needing to pick it up, but holding that timeline that Monica is talking about. And what would the world look like if we all did that, right?
Mm.
And we held people to that timeline of their greatness, and understanding that, like, because we know, right? All the pain, all of the struggle, all of it is perfectly divinely given to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
For us to grow, for us to be step into a higher version of ourselves. And so I love that. What about, though, in 2022, when you talk about managing energy, because for me, one of the big things when I think about managing energy that it's been so difficult for me has been boundaries. And like, we all know that learning to say no, but just like not just also understanding how we make decisions, because it comes down to these choices, and like knowing to say no, knowing to let go of the things that are not in alignment, but also just putting these like boundaries and borders up for, because I'll speak for myself, like when I want to take calls, like everything takes energy. So when I want to take meetings, when I want to take calls, when I want to create content like I'm doing now, like when I want to have intimate time with Ashley, when I want to have baby time, when do I want to read a book, when do I want to create art, when do I continue, all these things. It's like I've learned I've had to create these certain rules and boundaries that feel expansive, that don't feel restricting.
Yeah.
And you know, they do feel expansive because I'm actually now honoring myself. Mm-hmm. And so like, that's been hard for me, for sure. Like learning to just like be in integrity with the boundaries that I've set up, because I want to help and do a lot, help people that come to me at random times. I want to take all the calls. I want to do all the things.
Sure.
But I'll notice that if I don't honor my boundaries, I do get drained. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I get drained. And there was a moment in my life where I was taking calls every day, meetings nonstop, running the business, doing every little thing. And eventually it was like, yeah, I got burnt out and tired, and I didn't have the energy to show up as powerfully as I know I could have if I was more intentional with where and when I'm investing my energy into certain things. So like, what has been your relationship to boundaries?
Yeah.
And for, you know, for this,
I think it's beautiful because it's like to know thyself, right? Like you get the opportunity to know yourself more, to know when those times work, when they don't. And I think for me, I'll speak personally, I just did a month-long container where I did things I normally don't do. Like I literally went from like so many things that are important to me, and I just, for this 1 month and this new opportunity, a new country, new culture, new people. And
you're in Marrakesh, right?
I was in Marrakesh, Morocco, yeah, in Africa. And it was amazing. But I did a lot of things I normally don't do. I stayed up late. I ate meat for the first time in years, you know, and I was doing things that aren't particularly my...
Had some shisha?
I had some hashish. Definitely had a lot of hashish. And honestly, I had to forgive myself afterwards because I recognized how much I was wobbling off the path that I had chosen for myself, right? And then I had to forgive myself. But then looking at that as like, now I know even more. So I think sometimes when we neglect our boundaries, if we take that as like the lens thing, if we take the lens and be like, okay, this is why you need boundaries. Because remember when it is, what it feels like when you are burnt out. You know, it's not worth it. Like for me, it's not worth me having a glass of wine because I don't like how my energy drops. You know, it's not worth me going to bed late because I don't like how I feel the next day. Like I like long mornings, but not long mornings because I'm choosing it, but because, you know, I stayed up till 3 a.m. Like for me, not worth it. So I think sometimes those like moments when you wobble off the path are a good reminder as to why you need to put these boundaries and these preferences. Because I think sometimes when we word boundaries sounds like harsh, we're like, oh, I don't know boundaries, but like, it's just your preferences. I like long mornings. Yeah, same
rules. It can kind of feel like restricting, but no, it's like these are just healthy preferences. I love that word, yes.
Preferences. Like, I don't prefer that. And now I know for sure, you know, I'm reminded. So I think, you know, I'm just speaking because it's so relevant to my life. It just happened. But I think those opportunities give you room to see where those preferences, those boundaries get to come in and get to stick. And then I think it's an opportunity just knowing yourself. And I think seeing them as preferences gives such a better frame, because it's even, you know, if you like mint chocolate chip ice cream and I like chocolate, that could be a boundary. That's a boundary. You know, I don't eat mint chocolate chip. And I got that from Teal Swan, and I thought it was such a light way of putting boundaries because we put such hard rules on them. But if we look at it just like, no, I prefer this. I prefer this type of ice cream. I prefer to work like this. I prefer to not answer phone calls after 6. It's just a preference versus making it seem like it's this harsh, like, ruled, strict, you know, way of being, because it's really not. And I think when we have those, we allow ourselves to rise and we allow ourselves to hold our energy, and it's way more potent and way more useful for us.
So beautiful. Like, I think what you can take from this, guys, is like, how are you creating these new preferences in that are going to support your goals right now for, you know, this Q1 of 2022? And just thinking about that, what are those preferences in all areas of your life, you know, and just thinking about it from your health standpoint, from your work and your what you're doing within business, in your relationships with friendships. I've been doing that. I've been cleaning up, and I've been thinking about, it's been so cool. I just had a call with Chantel Martin, one of my favorite artists that was on the Leaders Create Leaders docuseries, and some others. And we created like these awesome friendship container where we're going to like do like deep drop-ins every quarter. And in between from now and the quarter, we check in on each other. But it's like, I've created some nice preferences on what friendship looks like for me in 2022. Cool. And so, cause I'm committed to better friendship and just, yeah. So, you know, what are those preferences for the way you want to work and manage your time and energy to accomplish your goals? What does it look like in your friendships? What does it look like in romance? What does it look like for your health? And just take a moment and journal that out and then restructure how you're living on a day-to-day basis. I just did this for a private client that came to the house. It felt so good that when Kelly left, her name's Kelly Mack. Check her out, Kelly Mack Music. I'm so proud of what she's created as an entrepreneur. She's got over 20 different artists. She's continuing to recruit artists that are musicians. And she does like the sickest commercials and like, she literally composes music and puts together these like insane, dope commercials. And she's even working on a documentary with HBO right now. Some of the biggest, dopest brands in the world. She's now broken through the multiple six figures. She's on the rise. I'm freaking helping her. She's going to eight figures. Let's go.
Woo, let's go,
but
Kelly.
But one of the things that we worked on with Kelly was like helping her to restructure. What are those preferences? And then we went through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and how she's managing her time and energy more efficiently. And so I think everyone can audit themselves right now and just think, what are the adjustments that we're making to better manage on a day-to-day basis? So what has been something for you, Monica, recently that you have shifted so that you can manage your energy more effectively going forward right now?
Putting my phone away when I'm working, like in a different room, because that is such an energy drain.
Wow.
It's literally just running the faucet on your energy, because I don't know about you, but I'll like check the time. Next thing you know, I'm on Instagram. You know what I mean? What just happened? Yeah. I was doing so good. So I can't, you know, having it out of even arm's reach, like in another room, because then that forces you, like, are you really going to get up and go to another room, you know? And you don't, you lock in and you allow yourself to get into a flow. And I think what's beautiful is that the flow comes after you get started. You know, it's always this, you have to just start and then it hits. Cause I think sometimes in the past, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna wait. Like, when is inspiration gonna come? And that's often sometimes not that helpful. You need to sit down and then
Sit your ass down.
I think Jeff said this once, Digital Jeff.
And shout out to Digital Jeff. Bam, bam. He wants to be a regular guest on the show. We need to get him out here.
He said motivation is for amateurs, you know? It's, you have to just sit down and get to it, because motivation comes and you have a stream that's just waiting, but you have to just paddle out a little bit, you know? So I think that is so true. Putting my phone away is what I'm so committed to, because so I can just, I get so much more done, and I realize how much the phone really is a distraction.
What else? That's a good one. I love that. What's been another... just something, another preference, another boundary that you have created.
Something that
right
came
now
in recently is this word of immediacy when it comes to having difficult conversations.
Oh my God, this is a good one. Yes.
Because, you know, I've had a tendency in the recent past of being like, oh, it's not a big deal, like brush it under the rug, or like, oh, they didn't mean that, and giving benefit of the doubt, but then it compounds. And then I have to have a conversation versus if I just nipped it in the butt. And for me, what I've had to do, because I love communication, I love conscious communication, but I've had to also own that, like, sometimes I might not get it right. It might have to be messy and it might not be perfect. And I'm willing to sacrifice all of the tendency to want to get it right and not, you know, and get the words just perfect, and just sacrifice that to just know that immediacy is more important when it comes to having difficult conversations. And I think the more difficult conversations you have, the more flow and ease, because
and growth,
so much growth. And it's usually not even that big of a deal as your head has made it out to be.
And it typically takes the relationship to a whole nother level.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whether in business, like every single time, because, you know, it may take a level of vulnerability, and it's about, again, talking consciously from a place of just truth and empowerment, but not from a place of blame, right, or just trying to disempower or anything. It's just coming from a place of, hey, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm feeling. This is where I see
truth. This is the story in my head of what's happening.
Yeah.
So right. It's not like pointing the finger, like, this is the story I have in my head of the situation. And that really helps. And I think like you're mentioning, the relationship deepens so much.
Yeah.
And it opens you up to also curiosity, you know, because I've known that the story I've made up in certain situations was so far off, and I've gotten to know where that person was coming from and what they were going through and how they interpret it and their perspective. And it widens my lens. It deepens our relationship because of that intimacy and that vulnerability. And it's a game changer. It allows your relationships to just go to a whole nother level. It's so elevating.
Wow.
Yeah.
Super dope. I love those. Those are a couple really great tips. Just flow state, right? It's all about starting. You know, from now on, when you guys do your sprints, I recommend at least two, if you can, three sprints on a minimum, you know, that you can create on a day, that just allow you to go into an hour and a half, 2 hour sprint where you just get deep work in. And in order for you to get into that deep work and get flow, get the phone away from you and start. And that's mm-hmm. where the flow can really kick in. And then also, when there's difficult conversations to be had, because I know I've done this as well. I'm guilty of that as well. Oh gosh, I have done that so much where you just put it off, right? Mm-hmm. And you just, for whatever reason, the ego wants to avoid conflict. And so we just tend to brush it under the rug or avoid. I've avoided in my life. But the more that I've leaned in, this happened a lot last year, coming into this year, just leaned into conflict, leaned into hard conversations mm-hmm. in a healthy way. It has taken my relationship to a whole nother level and my own personal growth, to just no longer fear conflict. Like, mm-hmm. no, conflict is a, you know, ultimately it's a tool, it's an indicator of an opportunity for growth. Mm-hmm. And so, like, using that as an opportunity to just flex into the uncertainty, into what's uncomfortable, knowing that on the other side of that is always wisdom, it's always growth. It's always possibility. And the longer we wait, we're actually almost sabotaging the quantum opportunity to up-level,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. And for even for that person and for totally. Ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Speak your truth.
Speak your truth. So I want to also just talk about, like, you have mentioned this, and I've never understood what an empath is. We're talking about energy, but, like, ultimately, I have no idea what it is, but here's what I do know, is that a lot of people see me as extroverted. I'm all over social, but ultimately I am introverted naturally. I can be extroverted. I can flex that muscle. I could be the life of a party, hella. Like,
oh yeah,
like, you know me, I'll talk to yeah. everybody. But I typically, one of the reasons why I even moved to North Carolina was, like, I really love my privacy. I get recharged when I can go into, I think it was Gene Keys that kind of showed me that I had this, like, it's had to do with a hermit. I had like this hermit quality where, like, when I can kind of go into my hibernation, I just fuel up. And then now when I go and to my retreats, or now when I go to my coaching calls, and now when I go to an event, networking, or do an interview, like, I am just so full, passionate, full with energy, and I can give so much. And I know that I have felt in the past that, like, jeez, why do I feel so drained leaving somewhere? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what does an empath mean to you? And if you can go a little bit deeper about how you have managed your energy, traveling the world, doing events, being around a lot of people, and making sure that, like, I know a lot of nomads that listen to the show as well. Like, how are you managing your energy as an empath?
Yeah. So first for me is, an empath is everything we've pretty much touched on, is someone that feels energy, you know, whether that's from a person, whether that's in a room, you have this sense to you. You can sense someone's energy, the vibe of the room. And so that to me is what an empath is. And then I'm a geek, so I like to look at the root of words, and the root of empath is really in feeling. So it's someone who's in their feelings. They could pick up on the subtleties. And
so can anyone be an empath?
I believe, yeah. I think, believe many people are empaths.
So we're basically empaths. We don't even necessarily know it.
Yes. And I think...
Or we probably need more empaths on the planet.
Well, here's the thing. I have this is like my true belief that I believe there's more empaths on this planet because we actually really need empaths. I think this world has been very... So, like, the pendulum has swung so far on, like, facts and logic and using our mental body that we really need empaths to rise and, like, use that fact that you are literally a genius if you can just sense things and feel something that's off or something that's, like, a celebration. So I feel like empaths are here to help balance out this planet so we can get back into that feminine, that feeling. And when we're disconnected from feeling is when so much turmoil in our planet can happen. If you're disconnected from Earth, if you're disconnected to your neighbor, if you're disconnected to other cultures, then of course it'll be easier to have war or conflict or, you know, debate versus if you're in your feeling body and you can feel somebody and you can empathize with them and you can have compassion for them, then I think it starts to harmonize so much. So I truly believe there's a lot more empaths out there than maybe they define themselves as empaths. And I think we're honestly sent here to help harmonize the planet. I think it's very important. And I think the first thing is claiming it as a superpower. Because it can feel, and I've been there, this is why I love this, it's like overwhelming, burdened, too, like tired, drained, it could feel all those things. But once we claim it as a superpower and use it as like, oh my goodness, I am so intuitive, I'm so in touch with feelings, I can really feel somebody else, like what a gift that is. And when we start to claim it and own it versus feeling like it's owning us, that's already a huge shift. It's a quantum shift in just like the way that you're viewing this, truly this power. So I think that's key first. Second thing I would say is hone your energy in your practices. So your morning practices cannot go to the wayside. You know, your meditation, moving your body, getting out into the sunlight. And I think it's crucial for empaths, people who have this gift, to be in nature, because the frequency in the hertz of nature is the same as the human body when it's in pure coherence, which is essentially just in harmony. And so the Earth's heartbeat is the same heartbeat as us when we're in full harmony. So I think it's important, it's critical that empaths get into nature barefoot, go for a swim, just get some sunlight on your face for just 10 minutes a day. It'll shift you because it will recalibrate your energy. And I think, you know, if we have a tendency to absorb, it's just honing that. What happened? What environments are you in? And start to recognize those preferences, those boundaries, and have the courage to have those immediate conversations. You know, I admire you because there's times where you've done that. You know, you've put your claim in a conversation like, you know what, this is going a certain direction, I don't tolerate it. Like, let's just shift the conversation. And that's powerful. And it also just allows somebody else to maybe reflect or just like, wait, yeah, I was going down like a negative tendency. Why was, you know, we can sometimes are so unconscious that we're doing it. And so I think it allows you to have courage and really recognize, you know, you can go into the room and you can absorb, or you can go into the room and you can influence. So which one would it be?
Damn, that was a freaking powerful line. I love it. I love it. And so you're working on something right now around this, right? What are you working on?
Yeah, it's called Empowered Empaths, and it goes through all of this. So it goes through managing your energy through your routine. It goes into first the root and the unconscious reason. It's the research I've been doing about why empaths feel the need that they need to absorb is such an eye opener. You know, why do you even have that subconscious root of thinking that you need to go and save someone? Healing that, and once you heal that root, you get to rise in your leadership, and you get to rise in the fact that you are a genius, you're an intuitive, you have a superpower, and how can you use that for what your purpose is and really serve that? And I'm really excited for this because it's been a long journey for me, and I've looked for mentors and I've gotten some help, but honestly, I've learned through my own life experiences. And once I found these tools and these strategies and these just reframes, it's helped me so much. Because we serve, right? Like, we love people. Yeah. Like, I'm never going to give up serving people. Well, so I got to figure out the energy thing.
Well, I've seen you. It supported you also. I love how that line, because I've seen you come into the influence. Like, leadership is influence, right? And it's like, yeah, well, all of a sudden now, it's when you're harnessing that superpower, it's a new level of confidence, it's a new level of courage, it's a new level of just freedom and like liberation, and it's a new level of just like going in and owning it.
Yeah,
like
embodiment, owning, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's embodiment. Just think it's so powerful. Yeah, when you're fully embodied, owning that is a superpower of yours. And then when you can really flex both, right? Because it's like not one or another, but now when you can really flex the fact that like you can swing into that feminine, you can feel, you can be knowing that your intuition is your superpower. And, you know, ultimately you know that you can harness that, the energy of the room, you can influence the room, you can stand for truth, stand for someone else's truth, yeah, stand for your truth. And you can flex into the masculine and can come back into the logic if that's needed and kind of go and have structure and
1,000%.
You know, I just think that's
both. Yes.
So definitely check out Monica. Thank you for coming back to the show. Was there anything you want to lastly add for those that are listening to this about when it comes to supporting their leadership right now and how this superpower that they have within them to harness their energy, harness the fact that they can feel, harness their intuition, harness their truth? Like, what's a last word that you would want to share with their hearts?
The last word I'll say that wasn't mentioned, that I'll mention now because it is critical, is community. You know, find your tribe. You know, I've been around your tribe and I've been able to come into Conscious Leaders Masterminds, and it's so important to have community, to know you're not alone. You are not crazy. You are ascending. You are powerful. You're here to serve. And we need these reminders because we can forget, you know, we can forget when we're on our own. So last thing I would say is that you have tribe right here. You know, me and Gerard are here. We love to serve. We'll continue to outpour and find your people, because they're out there. You're not alone. I promise you are not alone.
Yes, you get to expand in your tribe and your community. All right, y'all, have an amazing rest of your week. Go and absolutely crush it. I wish you nothing but just more love, abundance, prosperity, wealth, everything for 2022. Walk in wisdom, be a leader. We out. Peace. Yo, tribe, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to untangle more wisdom and gain clarity so that you can focus in on leading your movement. If you feel a connection to this audio experience, share it with your friends and please leave us a review. If you share your review and tag Leaders Create Leaders on IG, you'll enter into our weekly giveaway. Always remember, leaders create leaders.